Brothers and sisters, the topic of my message this morning is trusting God in the midst of chaos. Now, for the end of the year message, that seems like a very depressing title. But I wish that this morning I could wish you that 2013 will only hold joy, peace, happiness, prosperity. But the fact of the matter is that some of us are going to go through the difficult times. Most of us are going to go through difficult times. And we will have to endure some kind of a storm in our life. So many unbelievers and agnostics ask the question, but if this God is such a God of love that you're talking about, how come that he allows these negative things to happen in my life? I want to ask you a question. How many of you have experienced chaos in your life? Extreme chaos? Yeah. Now, as you've seen here this morning, my wife and I have 6 kids, all these grandchildren. We had Tommy, and then we had Annalene, and then we had Ignatius, and then my wife expected the 4th one. And that turned out to be 3 boys, triplets. So in 6-7 years, we had 6 children. Now, that was extreme chaos in our lives. Allow me just to tell you 1 or 2 stories. I remember my little girl, she was about 3.5 years old. We were living in a town in Pongola, down in the sticks in the bushveld. I had a pharmacy there, and her mom bought her and her little brother each a lucky packet. And in this little lucky packet that she had was a tiny plastic little car, toy car. And after playing with this thing, she eventually decided to park it up her nose, you see. And this was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and her mom rushed her to me, and I dashed down to the doctor around the corner, and he had fingers like bananas. Now he's trying to get this little toy car with these huge fingers, trying to get this little toy car, and instead of extracting it, he pushed it over, and he says to me, "Oh, maybe into her lungs, or maybe she swallowed it. Now I've got to charge about 150 kilometers to the next town to the hospital." That was chaos. Then one of my little sons, we started smelling, his breath wasn't smelling so good. So mom had him in the bathroom, and grandfather brushed his teeth. He says, "I'll teach you to brush your teeth properly." But the situation just grew worse. Then we started noticing, but his nose was starting to swell. And we found out he'd stuck a lot of beans into his nose. And these things had started germinating, and his nose. Now, trying to extract so many beans out of a little boy's nose, man, that is chaos, I promise you. And this one I must tell you. We went visiting some friends on a farm. It was about dusk in the evening. And we were all standing outside, and there was a staircase leading up to the loft. And one of the triplets had crawled up this staircase, was sitting on top, and lo and behold, around the corner comes a 3-meter mamba, black mamba, virtually walking on his tail, and he's going for the staircase. I ran and I shouted to him, "Jump, jump." But instead of jumping, he starts crawling backwards towards this mamba. Now that's chaos. Now recently when I was in Ukraine, I used this exact story as an example. So after the service, I made an invitation, and people came forward, and we prayed for them, but they wouldn't leave. So I said, "Is there anything else you want to know?" He says, "What happened to that snake?" I said, "Well, my child is still alive, so you can imagine what happened to the snake." I can just say to you, when friends and family only invited us once to come and visit. Because I can imagine, whenever we We stopped in front of their house with a combi, and Delesti opened the sliding doors. It must have reminded them of a primary school closing for the December holiday, you know. So for us, there was never such thing as an ordinary day. Now, fast forward about 22 years, and now my 16 grandchildren are giving their parents their share of blood and thunder. God bless them. Payback is sweet. But brothers and sisters, right here, in this building this morning, and across our beautiful valley, and across the whole wild world, there are many people who are facing chaos. Some of you may have lost your job, or you've been unemployed for quite a long time. Some face a marriage crisis. Some face a business failure and subsequent financial crisis. Others face serious family illnesses, unexpected tragedy or death, broken families, misunderstandings. And you're thinking to yourself, how can I face 2030? How can I face it? But what can we learn from chaos? What can we do to survive the coming storm? Just think of the world scene, Middle East crisis. There are earthquakes, floods, pestilence everywhere in the world. Everything is so uncertain, the times that we live in. How can we face 2013? Now, the account of Jesus walking on the water in the Sea of Galilee amidst a most terrible storm, that story tells us what to do when you feel like going under, when chaos reigns, when fear grabs you by the throat and you feel that you are going to drown. What to do? Let us read Matthew 14, verse 22 to 29. It says, immediately Jesus made, it says forced, strongly urged, he gave them no choice, his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Let us just pray. Lord Jesus, help us to learn how to trust you in the day of trouble and the hour of chaos when we go through this terrible storm to the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to discuss a few points about the dynamics of surviving chaos in the midst of a great storm. My first point is, chaos does not mean something is wrong with you. Chaos does not mean something is wrong with you. Chaos does not mean that God is angry with you, or that God does not love you anymore, or that God has rejected you. Chaos does not mean that if you were in the perfect will of God, this would not have happened to you. You would not have been in the storm. Listen carefully. Chaos is a normal part of life. Normal part of living. Struggle is the essence of growth and development. A mighty oak tree begins with a small seed or kernel. And this little tender stem fights its way out of this hard ground, only to be exposed to the sun and the rain and the winds and the hail and the snow, year after year, to become a beautiful oak tree. Now, Jesus gave his disciples no choice. He told them to get into the boat. He knew the storm was coming, and they knew that they were going head on into trouble and adversity. They were about to face their worst fears. They were going to look death straight in the eye. That is chaos. Now, why the storm in your life? Whether it is physical, emotional, financial, or spiritual. Why the storm? It is only in the storm that your faith can grow. Only when faith is tested by fire that you only know how pure your faith is. Only when you are tested that your character can develop. Only in the storm can you discover the power of God to deliver you. Only in the storm do you call upon the Lord and find him to be the present help in the time of trouble. My brothers and sisters, listen carefully. The storm develops your confidence. As your confidence is, so will be your capacity. Let me explain. God sent a lion that David had to kill. Then he sent him a bear that he had to kill before he sent him the giant Goliath to kill. God is saying to you this morning that the fight that you are fighting now is designed to develop your confidence. If you win this one, the next battle will be a bit bigger. But you will have the confidence because of your past victory. And if you win this one and the next one, God is transforming you from a pew warmer to a lion of God. Do you get the picture? God is doing something great in your life. Jesus had commanded them to go before him to the other side. Their safe arrival had been guaranteed. And all of us, you and I, we are sailing across the sea of life. Some are in a great storm right now. God did not promise smooth sailing, but he did promise that you will reach the other side. And notice that Jesus did not come instantly when the disciples called. He allowed them to stay in the storm for a number of hours before he came to their assistance. Now Jesus came walking to them on about the fourth watch, which was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Now why didn't he come instantly? Surely those were the people that were nearest to him. Why didn't he come instantly? Surely he must have heard them cry. Why? Because God's delays are not God's denials. Because God does not answer instantly does not mean he is not going to answer at all. He is waiting for persistence to overcome the resistance you are experiencing. He's trying to develop in you that character of endurance. For those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. James 1 verse 2 says in the Living Bible, said, "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, my goodness. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems." Remember that old song that Andre Crouch wrote and sang, if you've never had a problem, you'd never know that God could solve them. My brothers and sisters, the resistance of water is necessary for a boat to float. Resistance of air is necessary for a plane to fly. The resistance of gravity is necessary for you to walk. God puts you through a struggle, that is resistance. Therefore, struggle is necessary to develop you, into who you are going to be in the kingdom. God used no one in the Bible before he put them through the university of adversity, before he allowed them to become a leader in the kingdom of God. And you will have your adversity before you reach the other side. But God is going to make a champion of grace out of every one of you, that you may be a vessel of honor in the kingdom of God. Second point. Chaos and struggle actually have profound spiritual purpose and meaning. Remember the story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he was sold a second time in Egypt to Potiphar. And he was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's desperate, love-deprived wife, and then sent to prison innocently. I think that was extreme chaos in Joseph's life. Sitting in a prison cell year after year, knowing that you are absolutely innocent. And Joseph had all the right to pull out his hair and scream, where is God when you really need him? Why is he so silent when I need to hear a word about why I am going through this? You see, Almighty God saw the future. But Joseph, being human, could only see the day. The God we serve is too wise to make a mistake, and he's too loving to be unkind, and he sees the world of tomorrow. Listen. God sent Joseph to prison in Egypt so he could become prime minister. So that the Jewish people, because the Jewish people needed a place so that a family of 70 could become a nation of millions in the course of 430 years. God needed a place for the Jewish people whom he called the apple of his eye. God needed special people to write the word of God, the truth that would crush the power of principalities and powers. God needed a nation that would give us prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, to portray for us the world of tomorrow, to show us what is going to happen tomorrow, all written down in the word of God. Through Joseph's struggle, God gave the world a nation that would give us Jesus Christ, who would go to the cross and redeem the world from sin. His blood would make you and you and you and you whiter than snow. Our sins and iniquities would be remembered no more and never be brought up again. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Joseph could not see tomorrow, but God used the struggle and the chaos in his life to change the destiny of the world. When you struggle, go through adversity, think about the possibility that God is using your struggle and adversity to do something great for the next generation that you will never even see, that you are planting a tree under whose shade you will never even sit. Every opportunity has difficulties. But every difficulty has its own opportunities. And it's only when you come to grips with difficulties that you realize your potential. You know, I'm always so amazed at this woman that the Lord has given me. Whenever pressure comes, I tend to crack. But then my wife starts to operate. Just give you the short testimony. Soon after we were saved up in the Northern Transvaal, God led us to open a Christian bookshop. We were invited to Durban to attend a Christian booksellers conference where we would meet all the wholesalers, and we would see the latest books that were being published, and we could buy stocks for our bookshop. And with big joy, great joy, we set off to Durban. Near Stanger, maybe some of you know that that area, as I was rising, went over the hill, a little black girl that was doing shopping for parents, the traffic was tremendous, very busy. She ran across the road, couldn't make it, and I hit her. And I realized that she was dead. I stopped the car and I went in such a panic. I started shaking and trembling. I don't know what to do. My wife just calmly got out of the car, went to the boot, took a blanket, and in that busy traffic, she put the blanket over this little girl. And she started praying aloud in the spirit. By that time, of course, the village around us, everybody was weeping and wailing, and the chief was quite drunk, and he was shouting at us. And all of a sudden, this kid raised herself, and calm came. Long story short, we just got in the car of the police had been there, and we drove off again. At that time, I had a bit of racial problems, prejudice, especially with the Indian nation, because I studied in Durban, and you know, bossy, that curry and rice there. I just couldn't stand them calling me bossy, bossy, everybody, bossy, bossy, do this. So after traveling a few kilometers, I saw the heat gauge go up and the steam coming out of the radiator. I knew that the fan had damaged the radiator. I had to stop. And I panicked. What am I going to do now? I'm too shy to bump a ride. I'll never do that. We're miles off anywhere. So in the distance, I saw two Indian men coming along. I said to the lady, if that Indian comes to me and he says to me, bossy, bossy, I'm going to kill him too. And as true as Bob, they came over and knocked on the window. I said, yes. He says, what's wrong, bossy? I said, man, I've just killed a child. He says, don't worry, bossy. Don't you know Jesus Christ is still alive? I jumped out of that car and we did a jig in the street there. And there God started delivering me from racial prejudice. But when the pressure, how do we react when there's pressure on our lives? My brother and sisters, the only difference between a worthless shell on the beach and a pearl is a grain of sand that irritated it year after year after year. And that constant source of irritation became a work of beauty that is priceless. Look at the adversity you are going through as a work of God's majestic art. And he is going to change it into a life-changing theme for the next generation. My next point. Chaos and struggle forces you to find a new way to face the future. Because the things that we trust in today will fail you tomorrow. The dollar might fail us. Wall Street might fail us. Finances will fail us. Tomorrow it can happen. People will fail you. People who are maybe the dearest to you will fail you. Jesus, that disciple, said, I'll fight with you to the death. Days later, they said, I do not know this man. People will do that to you. How many brides and bridegrooms have walked down this aisle and stood before God and made a covenant with one another? And then one of them broke this covenant and broke the other one's heart. Imagine the anger, the chaos. Where is God to allow something like that to happen? And you may think, there is no answer for me. God has 1,000 answers that you haven't thought of. Things and people in which and whom you trust will fail you. The winds that initially helped the disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee yesterday were now contrary and was failing them today. Where do you go when the storms of life become greater than what you can endure? Where do you go? You go to the one whom the winds and the waves obey. You go to Jesus. You don't go to Dr. Prozac or to Johnny Walker. You go to Jesus. Because he is the rock of our salvation. He is the shelter in the time of the storm. He is my fortress and my deliverer. He is the God who heals. He is the God who supplies all our needs. Who alone gives perfect peace. All hail the name, the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Help me out. You know the song. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Once more. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Hallelujah. Next point, ignore the winds and waves in the storm. Stop looking at your circumstances and start looking at your opportunities. Peter was doing just fine walking on the water in the raging storm. With the winds roaring and waves pounding, he was doing the impossible. Why? Because his eyes were focused on Jesus Christ. He was walking on the water to the Son of God, who has and still is, was and still is the answer, the only answer. We used to sing that old song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." As I said, Peter was doing fine until he started looking at the size of the waves and the howling winds. And fear grabbed him. He began to sink, and he knew his death was imminent. Listen, when you focus on Jesus, you will experience faith. And when fear knocks on the door, send faith to answer, and no one will be there. A terrible temptation we all have in times of trouble is what can be called catastrophe worship. Look how bad this is going to be. Look how big Goliath is. What if the government does this? Or what if Malema becomes president? Or even worse, what if the doctor says, stop saying, what if? Start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can survive this financial crisis because I'm standing on the solid rock. I can overcome the sickness because by his stripes I am healed. I can overcome this fear because perfect love drives out all fear. My brothers and sisters, they conquer who believe they can, the Bible says. The Bible says nothing is impossible for those who believe. We should start looking up and stop looking down. My next point. When you are in the storm, look for Jesus to show up in an unexpected way and time. Matthew 14:25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus came to the disciples in an unexpected way, walking on the water. Now, that's not something that you see every day. But the thing that was about to destroy the disciples, namely water, Jesus was using as a sidewalk to save them. The thing that is about to destroy you, Jesus will take it and use it as a life raft to walk right to you and drag you back in the boat. Another example. Jesus' unexpected appearance on earth through the womb of a virgin. No one expected the Messiah to come in such a way, because everybody was expecting the Messiah to come on a white horse with a sword and legions of soldiers to fight Rome to the death. But here comes God's answer in a manger, a baby born in poverty. The point is that God is trying to bring us is the answer, and most of the time we miss it because we are looking in another direction, not expecting God to show up in the way he chooses to show up. And I believe it's going to be the same with the end time when Jesus returns again. We've worked it out perfectly in the scriptures, and according to the scriptures, how it's going to happen. But I can tell you, it's still going to be a huge surprise to all of us. My next point, what appears to be tragedy are these words, fear not. Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer, fear not. The message in the storm is, don't be afraid of it. I was listening to a message with Marinus, where Richard Hurd said, when you see trouble coming, don't run away from it, run towards it. Face it head on. The words Jesus used often in his ministry was, fear not. Fear not the past, it's forgotten and forgiven. Fear not the future, angels of God are going before you. Fear not your enemies, they will come to you in one way, but God will defeat and scatter them, and they will leave you in several ways. Fear not today, the Lord of hosts is with you. The blood of the cross is upon you. The word of God is in your mouth. Fear not the chaos around you. Our hope is not in the government or our finances or our possessions, but our hope is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Worthy is the Lamb. My last point. Listen for the voice of the Lord to give you a word of direction, a word of divine guidance. Now just get this scene in your mind. Peter is a professional fisherman. He knows the Sea of Galilee like the palm of his hand. But his life is in the balance. He is about to die by drowning. The other 11 disciples are screaming from the boat, get back in the boat, are you crazy? But Peter needs a word of direction. In front of him, he sees a figure which he presumes to be a ghost. Now, why is that? Now, back in those days, the history tells us that whenever a sailor believed that just before he died, he would see a ghost. So Peter was positive that he was going to die now because he thought Jesus was a ghost. Peter thinks that he's staring death in the face. His friends urge him back into the boat. He needs a word of direction. Either walk on the water or get back in the boat. One word saves Peter's life. Come. Now, many people want to hear from the Lord through trumpet sounds or technicolored visions. All Peter heard was, come. Have you ever asked God for a word of revelation or direction about your future? Ask and you shall receive. Peter stepped out of his comfort zone, that which was familiar, and he did something which he had never done in his life. He exercised faith on a level that he had never, ever experienced before. And God is asking some of us this morning to come out of your comfort zone and by faith towards Jesus Christ and live your life without limits. And brothers and sisters, stop allowing your past to control your present and your future. Stop allowing your past to control your future. Listen for God's word of direction. It will be very simple and very clear. But when you hear that word, his voice, the storm or the turmoil in your life will cease. Are you in the storm? Are you in a time of crisis? Listen for the sound of that still small voice of the Lord. And I'll conclude just with another short testimony. The other day I contemplated, of all this, the big storms that I experienced in my life, that was now before Jesus came into my life. I mean, that was just extra chaos before then. I'm talking about the storms after I received Jesus. First storm, I realized, was the birth of our triplets. It was madhouse. It was chaos. But that caused my wife to start seeking after God. The next storm was when my wife repented and she had herself baptized. And it was the thickness of a polony skin between divorce and staying with my wife. I'd already contacted the lawyers and divorce proceedings were started because I couldn't handle this mad woman. And then, by the grace of God, I got saved. Then I lost my job because we had become sects. We were a big firm, we had 5 pharmacies, and they asked me to resign. Where will I go with a wife and 6 kids? There's nothing to my name but a yellow combi. But fortunately, by that evening, the board director had asked me to please stay on and not leave. But then we knew our time there in the Northern Transvaal was over. Then our next move came to Franschhoek. It was like moving from here to a foreign country. It was totally strange to us. We didn't know anybody here. Our kids were disrupted. Their school, they were terribly disrupted. But then in 94, we were playing cricket in Paul. I fell. The next morning, I was virtually paralyzed. So I had a huge back operation. That was one of the most traumatic experiences in my life. And this tremendous pain, after days and about a month in hospital, this pain wouldn't let up. And then one morning, the Lord spoke to me. And he says, are there any idols in your life? Is there anything that you set above me? I thought for a while, I said, Lord, maybe my pharmacy and my hobby, which is gardening. He said, will you give it to me? I said, yes, Lord, please, just take the pharmacy, take everything. Take the house, everything. But the pain persisted. The next day, the Lord spoke to me. He said, anything else? I said, Lord, I've only got my children. He says, give them to me. I started with Tommy, Annalene, Ignatius, Usher, Walter, Marinus. I gave them all to the Lord. Yet that pain persisted. Next morning, the Lord came to me again. He says, is there anything else? I said, no, there's nothing else. He says, what about your wife? I said, Lord, that's all I've got left. That's all I've got left. He said, but unless you give her to me, I cannot have all of you. By this time, I thought God was either going to take my life or he's going to take my whole family. I said, Lord, then you have her. That afternoon, 3 brothers from different parts of Cape Town came to me. They prayed and God set me free immediately. And you know what? That was in May. Each crisis prepared me for the next crisis. Prepared me for the next crisis. By November, I started working again. And then the call to come and do missionary work in the Ukraine and Russia came to me. Do you know what? It was no big deal because I didn't own anything anymore. Everything I'd given away to God. And it was so easy to say, yes, Lord, we prepare to go. Brothers and sisters, do not run away from the storm. that might come in 2013, or maybe which you find yourself in now. God has got a wonderful purpose, because he's growing our confidence and he's teaching us to persevere, and then we'll reap the results. Is there anybody here this morning who finds himself in a storm? Let's just close our eyes. If there's anybody here finding himself in a storm, I would like you just to raise your hand. You find yourself in a time of crisis? Steek op jou hand. As jy voel jy is vanmôre in 'n tyd van krisis. Anybody else? Please just, I'm asking you, just come forward and stand here for a while. While we listen to a song, I want you just to come and stand here in front. Before I pray for you, just come and stand here. I just want you to listen to this song.
At times the load is heavy, at times the road is long. When circumstances come your way and you think you can't go on, when you're feeling at your weakest, Jesus will be strong. He'll provide the answer when you found all hope is gone. He'll find a way. Oh, yes, he will. For I know that if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, I know for you, he'll find a way. Oh, yes, he will. I know he will. And at times, your heart is breaking with a pain that's so intense, and all you hold are broken pieces to a life that makes no sense. He wants to lift you up and hold you and mend each torn event. He'll pick up the pieces that you thought had all been spent. God will find a way. Oh, yes, he will. For I know that if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, my God is more than able to see it through. For I know that if he can paint a sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if God can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, my God is more than able to see it through. He'll find.
Hallelujah. Father God, we stand before you this morning, so often forgetting that you are in this lifeboat with us, and that you've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. We so easily forget that all your promises are yea and amen. Father, thank you for loving us so much and for caring for each one of us. You've counted the hair on our heads. Our names are engraved in the palms of your hands. You know us, Lord. And Father, I pray for these dear people standing in front of me. You know the crisis that they're going through, whether it's physical, spiritual, material, financial, emotional. God of mercy and of love, I pray for a touch of your hand on each and every one of them. Lord, that they will stop allowing their past to influence or control their future. Lord, that the year 2013 will be a wonderful year in their lives. Lord, that we will see how you have grown in stature in each and every one of them. That we will experience the character of God becoming visible in each one of these dear people. Lord, take away all uncertainty. Fill us with that faith to know that God is able, and that he who is in me is stronger than him who is in the world, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, you who hang the stars in place and the moon in its place, how much for you, everyone washed with the precious blood of Jesus, bought with the highest price that could ever have been paid. You are precious in his sight. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.